Is it recording?
Yeah.
Before we get going, be sure to stop by Ally Outdoors. Ally Outdoors. Someone tell me go ahead and make the sign. In Midland, Texas. All kinds of neat shit there. Or allymunitions.com. And I've started, per people's request, I've started putting out more videos on my personal YouTube again, which it'll be molding and changing as time goes on. I'm going to move everything there, and it's basically going to be one takes, and it's going to be like either extensions of 12-minute talks or podcasts, but it's going to be more, again, 5 to 10-minute videos, little like bench top, one-shot takes. I mean, it's just new equipment that we're getting for munitions. There's going to be stuff about whitetail in there. There's going to be stuff about long-range hunting, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be one take. It's going to be fun. Right now, you'll see me just about every episode comment on something underneath that channel's name. That name will be changing soon, which we already have. Most of our people that watch podcasts already follow that channel. So just let everybody know. Today's topic, John, Hyrax.
Give me a big truck, my rack. I saw the first one pull in yesterday evening.
It's getting that time of year.
Over to Ally. We were eating across the street.
It's only a matter of time for someone tries to pull underneath the carport. Yes. Tear some shit up. Because their high rack is just nosebleed section so fucking high. It's unreal. Now, there's a lot of people asking about a high racks podcast for a couple years now. Probably since we started podcast, it'd be easier to do a full video on this with Hyrax in it. And maybe, you know, if y'all want to see that, we'll do that over on another channel.
You didn't realize the studio was in a Hyrax this whole time.
The entire time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a multifaceted subject. I just kind of wrote down quick notes to like hit the wave tops for the podcast. And again, maybe we'll, if y'all want to see it, we'll do a full video or actually get on some of our high racks, which they're scattered across Texas right now. Just quick backstory. Kind of ties in with the chairs. Been building some form of fashion of rack and chair for the past, I don't know, 10 years. Especially as it pertains to the chairs. And again, same thing with the racks because lots of racks and just... It's a never ending, ever evolving situation. And Texas is probably like the top state for it. And what I will say, if you're getting ready to build a high rack, go to a contest weigh-in. Any contest weigh-in in Texas is going to have some form of fashion of high rack truck show up. Do your homework before starting this project. I assure you, you'll be much better off. Go look at other people's shit. Ask them lots of questions. What made you decide to go with this height? How do you like it? What are things you like and don't like about your current setup? Because I promise you, this is an ever-evolving situation, and everybody always has pros and cons to all their little designs and features. And because the sky's the limit. And when you go with these weigh-ins, so there is no limit on the amount of money some people spend on this shit. And, you know, we've built grillions of racks, quite a few trucks and everything else. And at some point, munitions and TPH are going to offer hunting trucks at some point. That project had to get put on the back burner because of too many irons in the fire.
What did you put on the back burner?
Too many irons in the fire jar.
What do you have going on? You have
nothing.
You're just one of them YouTubers. You're just YouTubing all the time.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just like the book, the 22 Creed book, too many irons in the fire, and that's not high priority. At some point, I would like to offer a couple different services as it pertains to high racks and everything else, because there's a lot of stuff people that just they don't think about. Something along the lines of maybe like a service where I come in and help you build it, I'll design it for you, or we'll build it for you, like some sort of tiered service or whatever. Because I do have quite a bit of experience, can recommend quite a few companies and everything else. So,
well, for for us, City Slickers, in our sedans. What exactly is a high rack? What do you define a high rack as?
I would say, well, there's racks, then there's high racks, and then there's extreme high racks. Basically, anything you put in or on the bed of a pickup could be considered a high rack. Essentially, your goal, the why in this equation, is typically meant for nighttime hunting, although lots of people that contest hunt will hunt out of a rack during the day as well. And it's typically going to depend on where you're hunting. Like some places, like if you ever notice when you watch any kind of hunting shows or whatever in Mexico, they deer hunt out of high rack trucks. Now, these are much different than typically what you see in Texas. It might just be thrown together out of 2x4s, but a high rack is a high rack. And the crazy thing about it is what you've seen the landscape shift greatly over the past couple of years. Whereas when I first started going to a couple of contests, like most high racks were like this, just a platform, elevated platform in a bed of a truck. It usually consisted of some sort of bench seats or a literal office chair and a little rail to shoot off of. But over the past couple of years, and I like to think we had something to do with it, is a lot of people have moved over to shooting chairs. Like great amount of people have moved over to shooting chairs. But the whole purpose of a high rack is to get elevation. Have all your equipment and gear and everything else, some sort of stable shooting rest, if you will, in the bed of your truck to hunt out of at nighttime. Like that's pretty typical what you'll find. But again, like there's certain places where it might be far better to hunt out of a high rack during the daytime due to having some sort of elevation. Say like in West Texas, where we currently are at, you have a lot of brush type stuff that's about knee high. And the coyotes are probably a little bit more used to oil field traffic because it's you know, it's the oil field out here. So a vehicle doesn't necessarily like kill the situation. Now you will typically find that you'll have to shoot them a little bit further away during the daytime out of high rack. But there are situations you could set up. Like one of my favorite things to do when we're hunting a contest is the guys in the high rack stay in high rack. The driver will move us to the next spot, jump out with the e-call, and go upwind of the high rack. Meaning, again, we're in this West Texas area where there's lots of shrub brush, like knee-high stuff to waist-high stuff. And the best scenario you could do, in fact, I think we've done a 12-minute talk about this, is take the e-call upwind of the truck about 100, 200 yards and have them be on the road. So I'm going to be calling up close with an AR or shotgun. And if something tries to go downwind of the sound source, it'll put them in some sort of crossroad or the Caliche Road or whatever the case may be for a good open clear shot. Now, keep in mind, always know where the person who's running the call is. Let's be safe about it. That's why I say go upwind of the vehicle. That's the kind of like the best of both worlds situation. The best I've found anyways. But we've also hunted plenty of contests out of the high rack only. But again, you know, what is a high rack? I'm going to say anything that gains you any sort of elevation. And they're typically used for nighttime. And I would say, you know, nowadays you're going to see just about any kind of form configuration of a high rack at these contests. But most people are moving to chairs. They're seeing like the potential out of them, essentially. But, you know, we're not necessarily going to dive into chairs so much in this podcast as we are. Like, this is strictly my findings, what I found to be the best for high racks in general. So, you know, that's kind of what is a high rack. It's essentially an elevated platform on the bed of a pickup, you know.
Well, you say, because you see a lot of people have no chairs or anything. It's just rails,
mm-hmm.
Like pretty bare bones.
So, you know, that boils down to like budget, you know. And then your skill and capability. Are you paying someone to build it? Are you building it yourself? Like, this has been a long, long ongoing thing. Like, is it best to build it? Is it best to get it built or whatever the case would be?
Like, I have a friend who's a welder. Let me have him do it.
Here's the problem you're going to run into. Okay. There are people out there that manufacture racks. There are people out there that manufacture chairs, such as us. I would typically recommend, even if you have the skill, You know, even if you went out and looked at some racks and everything else, took some photos, I would typically recommend you just paying it done. It doesn't matter if you have the skill, because your time is worth something. And a lot of times these people who actually have built tons of these racks or chairs or whatever the case would be, they've already gone through all the headache and the pain in the ass to get, figure out what works best. So keep that in mind. I mean, there's nothing wrong with building yourself, but I promise you, as time goes on, you're going to want to change it a shitload. And sometimes the best thing to do is just go to somebody who's done a bunch of them, has done the research, done the testing and everything else to just get straight to the point. But, before I even really start going down the road of how to construct a high rack and different materials and everything else, we'll talk about the vehicle, because the vehicle often gets overlooked. What is the best vehicle for a high rack? What is the, can you build it on top of a Jeep? Can you, do all these things? First and foremost, you need to understand capabilities of a vehicle. So if a lot of people want to take a lightweight vehicle, such as like a side-by-side or a smaller truck, and they want to build these big, heavy racks and everything else, and they want to build them real tall because they've seen someone else do it. Or, there is truth to the matter of the higher you get, the better it is seeing down in the brush. But there's also a point of diminishing returns on how unstable that platform is. Because keep in mind, if you take a lightweight vehicle, such as a side-by-side or a small truck or Jeep or whatever the case may be, and you build a really tall rack out of it, and you build it out of heavy-duty material because, you're just old-school mentality, you got to build it out of quarter-inch wall material. The minute you get up there, that sort of, any little movement, is that something just swaying and everything else, and it also gives you a little bit of a turnover, situation if you get it too heavy up top, which I have seen some where I'm like, Jesus Christ, I wouldn't cross a ditch in this thing. Top drive. We do have a top drive. It's super heavy up top, and there has been situations where I'm like, oh my God, we're going to roll over. Now we have it. We've been close. Look, tires off the ground close. One time we got stuck, but just keep in mind, when you're putting together your list of how you think you're going to construct it and everything else, keep in mind, the lower center of gravity, the better. That's the reality of the situation. Is every foot you go over the cab, the more it's going to sway. It's just that simple. It doesn't matter. At a certain point, it doesn't matter how lightweight you go on materials. At a certain point, this has become an issue, and it doesn't matter the platform. Now, I will say this. The higher you want to go, one, you should probably go and check overpasses, carports, how you're going to load it. All these things should come into, I've seen this multiple times, people build these big monstrosity racks and then they have no way of actually loading it. that's a thing, but, keep all this in mind. But I'm going to say this, as a safe spot, the higher you want to go, the more heavy duty vehicle you want to have. Meaning the more rigid suspension components and everything else. Now, we went through there and painstakingly tested different kinds of airbags and all that stuff a couple years ago to see if you can maybe rectify that situation a little bit. Now, you can. If you build a pretty heavy, solid rack and you have, say, a 3/4 ton or 1 ton pickup, shoot some air in the bags, make it more rigid, it does help, but there's still a lot of sway. There's nothing you can do about that. Other than buy a bigger vehicle, essentially. Go up to a 1 ton. If you want a big, heavy, multi-person rack that's super heavy-duty and everything else, buy a bigger truck. The worst thing you could do is try to fit a massive rack on a smaller vehicle. So what that translates to me is, side-by-sides, they are handy for getting in tight spots and low ground impact and everything else, but don't go super high with it. Don't make a super heavy rack. Keep that for those places where you don't need to go super high. Just keep in mind, anytime you, a 1 foot elevation increase is going to yield you great results. But getting even higher is even better in some situations. But just good rule of thumb, the higher you want to go, the bigger the vehicle. I mean, that's kind of where I live on that one. And, we've built multiple vehicles. We've helped build multiple racks for multiple vehicles. Don't go as high as you think you want to go, and keep the vehicle appropriately suited for the size of the rack. Meaning if, like, all four of my teammates want to be in the rack while we're calling, which is, that's a whole different subject for a different day.
Got a game.
You have to keep in mind, those are four different bodies in a rack, up high, where, like, you're literally going to be swaying back and forth crazy if anybody moves. And that's, you know, that's, for me, that's just another vote for the chair system. Because when you have chairs, they have to sit down. And all you're going to be doing is rotating. So there's no moving mass, jumping about the rack, trying to get lights, trying to get guns, and, like, causing this massive swaying event when you're trying to shoot. Like, again, it, you know, and if you're just going to run, I would recommend, if you're going to run 3/4 ton, 1 ton truck, whatever the case may be, half ton truck, keep the height of the rack near cab height, meaning the floor of the rack no higher than the cab of the vehicle. In my opinion, this keeps it a good balance of, it's safe to go off road and, like, traverse some difficult terrain here and there. You're not going to get a maximum amount of sway when you're actually in the rack, or if you're crossing a ranch in the rack. Keep it cab height or lower. Always go as low as you possibly can get away with. And yes, you're going to have those people, like, yeah, just go higher. Well, the problem with that is, the higher you go, the more it's going to sway. Now, as it pertains to, like, building out hunting vehicles that you know you're going to put a rack on, everything else, keep in mind that this vehicle was meant to carry its weight plus whatever towing it's rated for. So you might want to upgrade some steering components. You might want to upgrade your springs, your shocks, all kinds of stuff. Like, there's not enough people look at these little small details, and by the time they put the rack together or put it in their truck or whatever the case may be, it's just super sway. It's just swaying all over the place. It's overweight and everything else by the time they get all the gear and the people and all that kind of stuff. So maybe instead of spending several thousands upon thousands of dollars on a rack, let's go ahead and take a look at the vehicle. And anytime you can get away, this isn't going to be in everybody's wheelhouse. Most people are going to load up a rack come predator season and unload it afterwards. But if it's in your wheelhouse to put together a completely other vehicle for hunting, I would recommend that. Because here's the reality of the situation. I said it. You're going to be going out off-road. You're going to be in places at nighttime where you can't see things. Shit's going to happen. You're going to break shit. You're going to tear up shit. When you really start looking at the price of a new side-by-side, which could be upwards to $50,000, $60,000, you can go out and buy a used four-wheel drive, you know, old pickup, old Jeep, something like that, and trundle that bitch around. Now, I know that's not going to work good for everybody. Like, some people are going to be hunting in parts of Texas where we're literally making multiple stops at multiple different pieces of property. Well, I mean, you could still do the whole have a separate hunting vehicle that's really set up, catered to night hunting. But these people that hunt massive ranches, I would highly recommend getting a separate vehicle. And it could be a beater, as long as it's dependable enough to get you stand and it's quiet. It's totally fine. And then take a look at the suspension first. Does the four-wheel drive work? My key components for building a hunting rig, a vehicle that's going to carry a high rack, if you will, doesn't have four-wheel drive, doesn't have a good suspension. Am I overloading this vehicle's capacity with all this shit I'm about to put on it? Because, like, when you start building out specific hunting trucks, that's when you start getting a little crazy with the weight and everything else. So go ahead and beef up that suspension. And there's, you know, there's tons of stuff out there nowadays, not just the rear suspension. I mean, if you're doing a generic, you know, load up in the bed of the truck rack, that's totally fine. Just beef up the suspension enough to handle the increased weight, make it more rigid, essentially, and then kind of go from there. But if you're going to build a full hunting rig where the rack goes over the cab, which is what we tend to try to do ourselves, because, again, we found that nice sweet spot on height as it pertains to the vehicle and keeping it safe and reducing the amount of sway you get out of the vehicle is keeping the rack no higher than the cab height. And again, take a look at your suspension components, your steering components, your braking components. You are adding weight to the platform. That's just kind of like the nerd in me, all that kind of shit coming out. keeping it safe by upgrading the brakes, because you're essentially adding weight to the platform, upgrading the springs, shocks, whatever the case may be. Nowadays there's a lot of options for airbags. You can put airbags, helper bags as they're referred to, on your pickup, relatively inexpensive. If that'll give you just a little bit extra rigidity, that'll reduce the amount of sway that happens at the top of the rack. And it's, the best way I can explain this is the higher you go, the more it amplifies the sway. Meaning, like, if you've ever been skiing behind a boat or been pulled in any object behind a boat, like, the boat doesn't look like it's going that fast. The people in the boat don't feel like they're going that fast. But the longer that rope is, the more that feels like that bitch is going 187 miles an hour faster than the boat is. It's the same scenario the higher you go with the rack. So keep that in mind when you're getting ready to build out a platform. Say, I want to go 3 foot above the cab for whatever reason. Like, we're in West Texas. We got to have the highest rack in the world. I'm going to look at my suspension. I'm going to give up ride quality for rigidity. Meaning I'm going to start with the springs. I'm always going to start with something that I can make super rigid and then go with add-ons that I can make it even more rigid or level it out in the field. Now, that's another thing as it pertains to like the rack height. And I'm going to keep driving the point home of cab height. And people are like, well, I need it higher. My answer is always very simple. Make the truck higher, not the rack higher. Now, when you start looking at, and that's typically what happens when you're building out a rig, when you start looking at lift kits and everything else, keep in mind, some lift kits are meant for maximum flex. This is not what you're really looking for in lifting up a truck for hunting purposes. Like, obviously you want some sort of give to the suspension. You don't want it like completely rigid, but you don't want like no full tilt rock climbing style suspension that's gonna easily flex and everything else. You're looking to move the mass of the truck up in the air higher to where you can keep that rack at cab height. So again, looking at lift kits out there and everything else, and what we typically do is like piece together our own lift kits because we're looking for to lift the truck up to give it more ground clearance because we are hunting outside. We're going through the wilderness, if you will. And we're looking for a very rigid lift kit, if you will. Meaning, most of the time we go with springs, like spring upgrades. And we're not looking for a spring that has a lot of flex to it, if you will. I think I've driven this point home enough to where the higher you go and the heavier you go, the more it's going to shift and lean and just move at any kind of, like the wind blowing is going to blow you around a lot. Like if anybody, especially if you're not running chairs, which I recommend you run chairs. Again, going back to that, like if you get people in chairs, they're way less likely to be moving about the rack when you're trying to shoot. And don't overdo it on the amount of people you're going to put up top, especially for the smaller vehicles. So, we kind of went over like addressing the vehicle. Make sure if you are putting together like an old beater to hunt out of, make sure it's dependable, make sure it's quiet, upgrade, redo the suspension. It doesn't matter if you just drop new shocks and springs on it. You want it as rigid as possible. And if you want to go higher, make the truck higher. I know that's like it's way cheaper to build a really tall rack than it is putting a lift kit on a vehicle. But I assure you, if you're being completely serious about this, like you want the most stable shooting platform possible, and you think you're going to compete in contests, like you want to take it really serious, put some money into it. Like it's one of those things. Like if you just do it right the first time, then it's a non-factor. But now before I move on to the next thing, you can go with stabilizers. And for the people that are just going to build super high racks on like lightweight vehicles such as side-by-sides and whatnot, or if you want to maintain some good flexibility because you do more with this Jeep or small truck than just predator hunt, you could do stabilizers relatively inexpensive, meaning just get some jacks and have a way to flip them down, jack them up, get some stabilization on the ground. The only downside of that is there's some sort of noise that accompanies this, and that's time. So it just depends. Like, what are you out for? Are you just taking, are you taking clients out hunting and you're going to be on stands much longer? Not going to hurt to go ahead and put in some stabilizing jacks of some sort. I see them a lot on side-by-sides still this day. Or are you doing contests where time is, you know, time is the name of the game? I would look at building a different system rather than trying to install some sort of stabilizing jacks. So, moving on from there is rack materials, how to build them, and everything else. So, the first thing I'd say is, if you don't know how to build anything, probably don't attempt this by yourself. again, go to some weigh-ins. Look at how and what they're building out of. And talk to them. Ask them questions. But if you'll just kind of study I don't know what the correct verbiage is here. Architecture or how to build things in general. It'll give you a good idea of what direction to go. Like, the biggest thing I see is most people, this is the route to go in West Texas. They'll build a square frame, you know, very simple. It's usually out of square tubing. It's usually out of way too heavy square tubing. And then they'll build a square platform for put their chairs on or whatever the case may be. And like I said a million times, what that ends up giving you is it's way off balance as far as weight goes. Like, all the weight is up high, which ends up giving you a very unstable platform for shooting and, you know, getting off-road. But so I tend to tell people, like, the best thing you can do if you're going to go in and try and build it yourself is do some tests after you've gone out and looked at these racks and, you know, taken notes and talked to people and everything else. Do some tests. You need to try and figure out just how lightweight you can build it to where it's stable and dependable and get away with it. I mean, if you don't know how to build stuff, you don't know what weight ratings are on certain materials and everything else, this is the, you know, test again. Like, build something with minimal bracing, test it. Oh, it's a little off. Add a little bit more, you know, and just kind of go from there. But it's hard to convey this stuff without, you know, being in the field. And this is where, like, that video in the field of showing you how we construct our racks, how we construct our over the cab racks, how we construct racks on vehicles. This is where that video would come in handy, because we've really been pressing forward with getting more and more lightweight. Because, you know, the moment you start adding lots of weight, again, you're adding instability, you're adding more stress on a vehicle, and you're also adding less miles per gallon. So keep it as lightweight as possible. Go talk to some people and everything else. I tend to like to use lattice gauge steel possible. And while I'm at it, the floors of high racks are almost always, what's that shit called, John? The grill looking shit.
The grate.
Yeah, not even grate. It's
No, hopefully not diamond plate. Don't
Jesus diamond. Christ. It's been so long since I've used any. I can't even remember the name of it. It's real thin. Jesus Christ. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's literally, it looks like, you know, some sort of barbecue grill grating. I can't remember the name of it. The problem I have with using that is there's zero structural rigidity to it. Like, it's
you mean like the square or the diamond?
Diamond shape.
Expanded metal.
Expanded metal. That's what it is. I call it, it's for barbecue grills. Expanded metal, one, looks awful. Two, it's a pain in the ass to build with, to get it good. Like, you could put it, just slap it on. It offers zero structural support. That's why I will not use it. We will use some sort of sheet metal that we just cut to save on weight. We cut designs out of it with the plasma cutter. Now, you might be thinking, wow, the sheet metal running across the plasma table is way more expensive than expanded metal. If you'll sit down and figure out the money and the math, by the time you brace up enough on your floor to use expanded metal, you'd been much better off using some sort of sheet metal, if you will. Thicknesses, it just solely depends on how much bracing you want to put in and everything else. And again, we'll cover that in an actual video where I actually show you, like, some of the different examples we've tried over the years and where we kind of land at nowadays. It's you really want to understand how to build a good rack lightweight, look at the best example I can give you is look at steel buildings. Look at how the roofs are constructed. And that'll give you a good idea on how to put together a high rack with minimal weight and get away with, you know, stuff like that. But you can't use components such as expanded metal. It's literally just a floor. You're relying totally on your framing, which is typically going to be more weight to get any sort of structural, just went blank here. Structural support rigidity. Like it's, people just always, oh, it's lightweight. Well, by the time you add in all the bracing to even support that, or you end up with this rack that's kind of a piece of shit because you try to span too far for expanded metal and like bows and waves and all kinds of shit like that when you walk across it. I can't stand that. And expanded metal is very loud, which, I mean, sheet metal is same. It's still loud, but I always coat it in something. You know, I've used all kinds of different materials. It's just we typically use sheet metal. We cut out certain designs on it to make it look better, and it gives you way more structural rigidity than expanded metal. And then we coat it heavily with something, or we cover it with something, which is, you know, a lot of people still do that with expanded metal. So as it pertains to like your legs and everything else, I'm totally fine with using some sort of square tubing. And as far as thickness, again, that depends on, you know, what kind of spans are you looking for. And if you're looking for wanting to consider like how far can I span this to get the most amount of rigidity, the best thing you can do is get online and do some research. Like there's going to be ratings for certain tubing, certain thicknesses and everything else. If you really like nerd out about this shit, you can get online and figure out all that and kind of see how far you can span certain things and everything else. But I tell this to people all the time. A good rule of thumb is the best thing you can do is keep most of the weight in the base. Most of the heaviest components of your rack, keep it in the base, whereas like the lowest spot possible in your truck bed. And if you can get away with it, if you're fine with doing it, don't even put together a base that goes in the bed. Put together a base that goes onto the bed rails. Now, again, it would be highly advantageous to have accompanying video. And again, we'll get into this later on. Like that's it's like a long, long talk subject. But the idea is to keep the majority of the weight in the bed of the truck. Don't go above the cab. Don't use too heavy materials. There's no reason to use 1/4-inch thick wall anything on a high rack. Like, what are you doing? Who's in that high rack? And, you know, just a lot of times where people don't understand is the heavier duty materials add more weight, causing more instability in, you know, the sway of the vehicle. Also, the weight of the material itself, like you might think you can get away with further spans without bracing using heavier material, but the weight of the material itself is going to cause it to sag. It is also moving that center of gravity up higher, where, you know, the imbalance of the situation. So this requires such a deep dive into like structural integrity and you know, materials and all kinds of stuff like that. But I'm just,
you know, she's more gussets.
I mean, that's never a bad idea.
All of the gussets.
You know, it's never a bad idea. But again, I'll do a video and I'll cover a bunch of the racks we built, and I'll show you like some of the failed racks I built. Well, they're not failed. They're fine. They're just the ones like this is a natural progression of things. Us using this material, and then this is where we went next. This is where we went next. This is what we're doing now. You know,
I think it's like I think a lot of it is having like reasonable expectations. Like you can see, look at some of this crazy racks and shit that people do, yeah. Understanding that those guys have unlimited budget and yeah. Can do the dedicated vehicle. So like, it's like being realistic with what you need and what you don't need.
Yes.
So I guess would be a good question is like, hey, I'm just Joe McHunter. I drive just a standard Super Duty F-250. I want a rack to hunt out of. Like, reasonably, what should I build? Should I just build a short platform that, like you say, floor goes to cab height? Like, how many chairs should I expect to fit in that? Or
what I always tell people, how many people? My first question is, how many people are you expecting to be in a rack at the same time? And it's almost always, well, my whole team. I'm like, Does your shotgun guy have to be up there? Because if you're going to shoot him with a shotgun, it's going to be close. So kick one guy out of the rack. We're reducing the weight already. We're reducing the size of the weight already. Kick one guy out. That leaves us three. Now, if I can get away with it, I don't even want three people in a rack. So where I tend to live is like a good rack for two people is ideal. That leaves you one guy on the ground with a shotgun, possibly two guys on the ground with shotguns, or a guy on the ground with a tripod, whatever the case would be. The more you can reduce those people, the more you can reduce the weight and the potential of someone swaying around. And I'm going to go with chairs. Now, you don't have to go with chairs. Like, it's not necessary. Like, you can go out with the generic old school racks of just a chair and a shooting rail and have just as much fun. But once you hunt out of chairs, it's worth it. Now, as it pertains to that, like, not knowing where we're hunting, I'm staying no higher than cab high with the floor. Now, I'm going to stay lower than that if I can. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, having just a little bit of elevation is going to be handy. But if you're hunting, like, mostly hay fields, there's absolutely no reason to go cab high. Literally on top of the bed rails or halfway in between the bed rails and the cab is where I like to stay. And what I would do is say, go to allymunitions.com, get some chairs, get the Weekend Warrior rack system. And upon the release of this video, it should be on the website and available for pickup, the economy class rack, which is a super lightweight rack that can be a single person or a double person rack that sits on the bed rails and it lands right in between the bed rails and cab high. So I can still shoot over the cab. If I'm sitting in a chair, I could rotate 360 and two people can sit up there just fine. And I'm not taking up the entire bed.
Well, it seems like
simplicity.
Three people is too many. Three's company.
Three
especially is if you're using a chair, like you have like your zone coverage. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, it is, you get a little bit of extra, but it's just kind of like point. Like you're going to, like two of the guys, like you're always going to be like on top of each other.
Yeah. Three, I can get behind three if you have a massive platform.
Yeah.
Say I'm building a dedicated hunt truck. I'm going to build it cab high. I'm going to go over the cab and then out to the end of the bed. So we're talking about a good, you know, close to 20-foot rack on a long bed pickup, you know, somewhere around those there. I can get behind a three person in that particular scenario if those three people hunt well together and if it's justified. And what I'm going to always tell people, chair layout is another big thing. We'll always tell people go with triangle layout, meaning two people are close and you got one in the back. So what that gives you is two guns coverage at all times, meaning you got two in the front, two around the sides. The guy in the back, he just kind of pivots where he's needed. But, all you really need, it doesn't matter if you run a four-person team or not, all you really need is two chairs. Two chairs, I like to do, at that point, I like to do opposing corners or side-by-side. It just depends on, like, the size of the platform we have, all that kind of stuff, like the shape of the floor of the rack. But I like to have it to where, I don't know, this is a point of contention for some people. When you're setting up a two-person rack, do you set it up to where they can spin past each other, or you set it up close enough to where they can't spin past each other? I prefer, from a safety standpoint, you can't spin past each other. You have to turn and go the other opposite direction. And if you set it up to where they're front and back of each other, or side by side, I could see it both ways. Like it depends on the size of the rack, the platform is going on, everything else. What I tend to do, even if I'm only intending on running two chairs, I like to have four positions. Because some terrain and topography and scenarios, like Fox Country, it never hurts to have the ability to have two guns on the same side, same target at once. So you would want, more ideally would be side by side, I guess. Because there's only certain scenarios where you're not both able to be on the animal, as opposed to like one in front of the other. Coyote country. And, you know, again, it never hurts to have multiple locations for your chairs. But how you set up your chairs is kind of up to you. It's going to be dependent upon the situation, all the kind, you know, all that jazz. there's going to, like, the chair location and everything else is going to be, like, it's going to, there's going to be so many differing opinions on this matter. That's why I always go, whatever size base for two-person setup, go ahead and put four locations so you can move those chairs around and figure out what works for you. Because I guarantee you, you're going to find that in different areas, different locations, different situations may call for a different chair setup that be optimal, if you will. Or, you know, just having more options built into the platform keeps you from adding in other options at a later date. You know, but if someone is just putting together a rack, again, if you're not going to buy our stuff, it's fine. It's, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is. Keep it lightweight and simple. I see this more times than not, especially people that run two-person rigs. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason why your two-person rig should not be, there's no reason why you should not be able to load it up with two people. If you cannot load up your two-person rig, now, you may have to take your chairs off, separate chairs from the rack itself, and load them up in two, you know, two separate things, which I would recommend anyways, unless you have a piece of equipment. You should be able to load that up with two people. You know, same thing, three-person setup, should be able to load up three people. Four-person, four people. If you can't, your rig's probably, your rack is probably way too heavy. Or you're trying to load it up with everything installed. Like, because some people, again, different situations call for different setups. Some people have gun boxes up top. Like, we have one big rig that has full gun boxes all the way around, and it's, there's tons of room up there. There's tons of different mounting locations for the chairs, like options, like I've talked about. That rack is solely for literally getting up in it and not getting out. So having plenty of room, like we can literally set a cooler up there in between the two chairs. We have gun boxes for multiple guns. We have boxes for ammo. Like everything's literally up there, except spare lights, batteries, all kinds of stuff. Cause you're, that's a dedicated contest rig. So literally you're up there. And you're essentially up there all night. So you having everything up there to me is paramount. But it also keep it, you know, very well organized and maintained to where it's not taking up a great deal of space. And we're still hovering around cab height. So for what that rig is, it's very stable for what it is. Because it's massive. But material, steel or aluminum. It is no secret I'm no fan of aluminum. Now, you can get aluminum. You can weld aluminum to where it probably won't break. But chances are that weld's going to break. Now, if you're, you don't have to weld everything. This is what I always tell people when they're talking about building racks or they can't afford to necessarily pay someone to build a rack. It's like, which is why we came out with the Weekend Warrior system. And so you could buy a base that's welded together. It's ready to go to build our chairs to. A guy can go to Home Depot, buy some Unistrut and a couple different things, and literally build one without a welder. Same thing goes with a steel rack. I've seen people build them out of wood, and it's fine if you do it properly. It's not longevity-wise. It's not, you're not, I mean, you could put enough shit on wood to make it last a while, but at that point, you're probably spending as much as you would with steel, but you don't necessarily have to weld a rack together. If you're just smart and plan ahead and everything else and look at alternative materials out there, you could 100% build a rack without even welding once, like literally have everything bolt together. But I will never recommend aluminum unless it is going to be that bolt together style system. I ran a fab shop for a number of years, had my own fab shop for a number of years. I've have plenty of experience in aluminum welding and everything else. Eventually, if you put it through enough abuse, that weld is going to break essentially. Due to the fact that it's high temp and that material just, I don't know, you know, yes, if you prep it properly and weld it properly with the proper materials and all that shit, it has a very high chance. And especially if you're not allowing it to meet high vibration, excuse me. It seems like as it pertains to aluminum, it seems like it, the enemy of aluminum is like high vibration type scenario, or allowing it to be moved a lot, I guess is what you would say. So if you are going to weld up an aluminum rack, be sure and know what you're doing, meaning know the proper procedures and use the proper techniques, all that shit. Probably just pay someone to do it if you don't know how to do it. That's easy because you what you end up doing is basically like when I first started dicking with aluminum, that was back in the bow fishing days. I was building bow fishing racks for boats, and when I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, YouTube was barely a thing, so it wasn't really anywhere I could find out information. Lots of fails on my behalf until I figured it out, like the proper way of welding aluminum, which ended up just going to a school for it. But if you don't know what you're doing, I would suggest trying to bolt it together or paying someone who's professional, who knows exactly how to weld aluminum and care for the aluminum and prep the aluminum and everything else to build that rack. It has its best chance at not essentially being a problem later on. But if you know what you're doing with just regular mild steel, you can get them just as light. I assure you I've done it. We still do it to this day. But moving on, you know, quickly talking on aluminum there. It's not my favorite, but it can be done. It's, you know, aluminum is expensive, but it is lightweight. But I assure you, you can do the same thing with mild steel. Yes, the aluminum might be slight amount lighter at the end of the day, but you can do the same thing with mild steel. But, you know, moving on. And like I said, I've seen people use wood, especially like East Texas, Northeast Texas, places where they're literally just sitting them on the bed rails because that's as high as they can go with their chairs. I've seen plenty of people build them out of wood. It's not my favorite. You know, even the most talented woodworking people, that some bitch has got a shelf life much shorter than a metal rack. I've seen, the funniest thing I've ever seen was these hillbillies, as I call them. This is back in the day. They just took a picnic table and put it in the bed of their truck. And that was the rack. But, I mean, I'm not here to bash anybody's shit. I love seeing racks. Doesn't matter if you, like, jimmy-rigged it out of, like, something old and something new. Like, it doesn't matter if you built it out of wood, whatever the case may be. I love looking at people's high racks. It's awesome to see how people's creativity get carried away with this shit. Like, I've seen so many racks built out of so many things. So many chairs built out of so many things. Like, I love ingenuity, all that kind of shit. Like, one of the first racks I ever built was literally pieced together out of scrap metal and had all kinds of, like, here's some components it had on it. Office chair. Rebar. A strut for a screen door. Like, I had this idea for the single seat rack. And I took an old tripod, cut the top off of it. There was my little base going to bed of the truck. Because all I needed was to be able to shoot over the cab of my truck. So I used the tripod. I used a office chair, which don't ever do that. It's completely dangerous where you just took the base off and weld that to your base of your chair. It's completely dangerous. Do not do it. Do not use office chairs for shooting chairs. Unless you're just literally building a platform and rolling the office chair around. Meaning don't remove the base and weld that to anything. That's totally dangerous. That's not recommended. It's really dangerous. But anyways, I built my own gun rest contraption based off of a strut for a screen door. And literally my gun rest was some sort of door jam device for break-ins. That's what my little U was for resting my rifle. That was my first rack I ever built myself. And then I moved on to my next rack. I built a three-person rack with a first edition, the prequel to the TPH chair. The first one I ever built was on the second rack I ever built. And I built this rack. It took a lot of time to figure it out. I wanted a three-person rack that would fit in the bed of a pickup. With me, the guy who's running the primary lights on the chair and the gun, up higher than my other two people. And I wanted to be able to load this by myself. Now, what this took was a lot of careful time and thought to balance it just perfectly to where I could lay it back on its back into it, and then push it over, and the weight would take over and help it fall into the bed. Now, a lot of add, subtract, weight type situation until I figured it out. I'm sure there's some sort of complicated math formula I could have used, but I don't do math. I just, you know, figured it out. I still have that rack. I actually got it back from a buddy of mine, which it's in awful shape nowadays. But anyways, materials, just steel. You know, that's probably the most commonly used, and square tubing is probably the most commonly used. But don't be stuck on that. Like, I promise you, I could go to Home Depot right now and buy a bunch of Unistrut and build a rack out of it. No welder, just bolts and Unistrut. So, moving on. As far as your two main types that are still around nowadays, it's like a shooting railer bench and chairs. While I have killed many a vermin off of just a rail across the rest of the rifle line, I've killed many at nighttime with a bipod on the cab of the pickup. Like, that's fine too. Like, I'm urging you to get out and predator hunt. I'm urging you to try nighttime hunting when you're ready. And I'm urging you, like, don't let budget hold you back from doing something. There are definitely downfalls to just putting a bipod on the cab of the truck. What if something comes behind you? You know, I would recommend shooting off a tripod before I did, like, bipod on the cab. But I've done it all the ways. I've killed plenty of animals at nighttime, all different rack styles, all different platforms, and everything else. I will say this. As someone who's had a lot of experience trying out different kinds of racks, building different kinds of racks, different setups and situations, and there's nothing like chairs. And I'm not saying this because we sell the chairs. I'm saying this because chairs are the best. What you can do with a chair is have your rifle and you essentially on a turret. And then you can have your lights right there on the turret seat yourself. The closer you get the light source to your eyes, the better off you're going to be. I promise you. Anybody who's been nighttime predator hunting long enough without chairs knows this all too well. If your light operator sucks, you're going to have a shitty night. You're not going to see hardly any eyes, and he's going to screw you over. Because, like, when you're the person holding the light, and typically, like, this is how it used to go. The light guy would have a elevated platform, and then there would be some sort of bench situation for the shooters, if you will. And he would just stand there and scan until he got eyes, and he would do whatever you decide the practice is for catching eyes. Hopefully he's keeping the light on it. Until it came in so close that you were able to see it through your scope with him standing over you. Now the problem with that is, a lot of times, is there's some sort of halo situation. One, he's lighting you up for the predator to see. Two, what I've found to be true many times hunting out of other people's racks, is you have to wear a hoodie and make sure you're properly positioned over your scope, or else that halo he's casting is blinding you in your scope. Like, it's projecting light into your eyepiece. And then if you're kind of in a more mobile platform where everybody's sitting down, your light operator just kind of standing up in like a square rack, which we've done that for years too. If that light operator doesn't know to come to you, like if it's coming to your side, he doesn't know to come to you and get that light as close to you as possible, it's going to be... you're going to miss more eyes than you see. Like, he's going to be like, it's right there in the lights, but you can't see nothing because the body isn't close enough yet for you to identify it through that light. And the eye shine is definitely, it's more better to have the lights closer to your eyes. And that's why, again, it's vote number 17,000 for the chairs. You can set it up to where your lights are right there near eye level, and you're going to catch more eyes. You're going to catch more eyes much earlier. And then it puts the lights on the same playing field as your rifle. It gives you the ability to just spin around, thus looking in the center of your lights. It puts the lights out above you. There's no chance at you lighting up you or your buddies if you have a light, old school light operator, because the lights are out there towards the end of the rifle if you're running chairs and you're setting them up properly. Again, you know, to me, there's no contest. Chairs. I would still go hunt either way. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if we're just hunting off the cab of the truck with my bipod, if that's what I got, that's what I got. But if I have my choice in the matter, I'm running a chair because it gives you the ability to hunt by yourself. That's a big one to me. It gives you the ability to be nice and comfortable for a good shot and for running shots. We cover this in another one. Running shots. If you're just shooting off a rail, you're sliding on the rail, you're making racket and everything else. If you're in a chair, you're literally just spinning, and you control how fast you spin with your feet, and you can tighten that bearing down to where it's way more resistance to turn, thus giving you a more rigid shooting platform. Like, that's a great thing about chairs, and we'll probably talk about chair designs in another video because that could be its whole other thing, like how to properly design a chair, because I see a lot of them out there. The way some of these people are building their chairs, they're not very stable. Like, you're getting a lot of front weight, and that's causing lots of bounce. pet peeve of mine, but whatever. Moving on. Man, that's pretty much all on my list. Again, this is such a hard topic just to talk about, but people wouldn't want to do it, you know. I feel like I hit the wave tops, but again, we'll do a video where I'll go out and deep dive our racks and why we decided to do certain things and what certain things to stay away from. Don't expect this video tomorrow. Right now we have racks off of vehicles. We have vehicles at shops and all kinds of stuff. We have shit scattered everywhere. I'm going to have to get everything in one place and then talk about it and like record it. And like, this will probably be a couple video series covering racks in detail and depth, but that's the waypoints. I don't know what else to add. You know, what do you think, John?
For all your rack and rack accessories, visit alleymunitions.com.
That was perfect. I was hoping, I was watching you press those buttons. I was hoping it was going to be worth it. But no, you know, if you're stuck, if you're trying to, you know, build a new high rack or whatever the case may be, and you're stuck on certain design features and everything else, feel free to reach out. Again, inboxes are usually inundated with tons of messages. I will get back to you as soon as possible. But I don't mind helping you out at all if you have thoughts about a design. If you can draw any at all, draw it up, send it to me. I'll tell you, you know, some changes that could be made. Or if you're curious about suspension components for certain vehicles, you're curious about how to do a high rack when you're building a full-on hunting vehicle, I promise you we've built tons over the years. I could tell you all the ways that don't work that well. And I could tell you what we do nowadays that seems to work very well. But, I think, you know, it's a pretty good place to wrap it up. If you have more questions, let us know down below. It may spur on a whole new video, or I may just drop in and answer the question. But if you have any more questions about high racks and all that kind of stuff, just reach out to us. And like I said, be sure and go check out alleymunitions.com. Or if you're in Midland, go by Al Outdoors. We'll have chairs in there very soon. We're running a tidbit behind schedule this year. But they'll be available in store very soon. We're building a new floor demo. It's going to be badass. But anyways, any other announcements, Sean? Oh, t-shirts, fishing shirts at Al Outdoors and on the website. They are on sale right now. I just want to throw that one out there. I keep forgetting to mention this. And with that, we'll see you guys next time.